Hello and welcome to the Drum History Podcast. I'm your host, Bart Vanderzee, and today I'm joined by Stephen Harrison, the drummer comic. Stephen, how are you?
Man, I am better than ever. How you been?
I'm good, man. I'm glad we met via social media here, and this is a really interesting topic, talking about drummers who are comedians and actors and really musicians in general. You hear about these people where you're like, oh my God, you're a drummer too? Like,
yeah.
I had no idea.
It's especially with drumming, it feels like.
Yeah, more than a guitarist or, you know, bassist especially. But yeah, man. So why don't you just take it away and kind of give us the spiel about how far it goes back? Like, what do you got for us?
It was around when jazz was just starting to boom. I always look at it as is the 20s was when you had a lot of people breaking through for their, you know, whether it was Al Jolson or the Marx Brothers, mm-hmm. Music was becoming something that was a part of, you know, common life. People loved it back then and they do today, but you had specifically with drummers, I think they didn't really get their due because it was always about, it still feels like it's about the lead singers and guitarists because you think Mick Jagger and Richards, yeah. You know, Joe Perry, Steven Tyler.
Yep.
It, with drummers, you have to fast forward to the days of when you had somebody like Buddy Rich or when you had a Hal Blaine breaking through for people on television audiences. They were more mesmerized, I feel like, by the playing, but there's so much more to people because it kept going to where you have Neil Peart, mm-hmm. Who's everybody looks at him because he's an introvert. They don't realize he was one of the, you know, his two bandmates were quoted as saying he's the funniest person they ever met. you kind of, it flew under the radar and you didn't realize how complex drumming really is. It's just, I feel like as a whole, even outside of comedy, it's never gotten its due as mm-hmm. Percussion's a very key thing to finding a musical basis. Even if you don't play, it's something like if you play the guitar or, you know, whatever, the banjo could
yeah.
be that.
Yeah.
Of course, you would you have to start with rhythm and there has to be a foundation.
Exactly. And I think just you saying that, it makes me think that, like, obviously comedy is a lot about timing. Drumming exactly. is all timing. And again, going off what you said, that 20s, 30s, 40s, drummers, and we've talked about this on the show before, but drummers were the stars. I feel like that was like an era of lead men drummers. Like you got Gene Krupa, your Buddy Rich, all these people. And I just discovered a guy named Ray McKinley, who I'm sure many, many people know about, but he was a band leader, drummer, 40s, 50s, 60s, and just that, band leaders who were drummers, and he also sang, but you just don't see that as much anymore. It's really interesting. It was a very special place in history, but one thing I like too is there's, like, I think of Sammy Davis Jr., because, man, yes. He was a great drummer, but he was also...
Can't go on with drumming and having that conversation without his name coming up somewhere.
Exactly. I mean... What a phenomenal musician across the board, and also a tap dancer. I think that is also something that corresponds with a lot of these guys, is the amazing ability to tap dance, like Buddy Rich, Steve Gadd. All these guys were tap dancers. So
a lot of truth to that.
Who are some of the so you said the Marx Brothers. I mean, now when we say drummers, are we talking about, like, obviously in the 20s the drum set was just getting started, but is this like a, they like to play at home kind of thing for fun, or are they performing on stage or in the films as drummers?
It's interesting that you mentioned the, you know, those days of people like Sammy Jr. when they had their time on screen. That was, it's what I start to think about when I think of these performers, was kind of the era of Gene Kelly and those mm-hmm. movies in the 50s. You always thought of the tap dancing.
Sure.
That's where I think for a long time there wasn't there was a presence kind of underground with drummers, and they went on. Sure, you could be on television, but they weren't. You had to be there in the moment to see the actual performance. Where, yeah, somebody like a Groucho Marx, I mean, they made movies every 3 to 5 years. It felt like they were always seen with their instruments, but drummers, I think they didn't get to the public light really until the 40s and the 50s, when musicals were just the thing off Broadway. You know, everybody wanted to see it back at the time, all the way up through, I guess, into the 60s, because, you know, West Side Story was still winning the Academy Awards back when they were something still that people cared to tune in for. But that's a lot of that came from that time of where they were just starting to were tap dancing and these musicals were in.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's weird because, so like, I go on my nightly hunt to find drum videos to post on Instagram and stuff. And I always like to find the celebrity ones where I'm like there's Rosie O'Donnell playing the drums. There's Bob Crane from Hogan's Heroes. There's, I just found one of Marlon Brando playing congas. And it's like, I think there's part of it that's like, it's a relaxing kind of like hobby to do. So I think there's a lot of secret drummers who just really enjoy doing it as a hobby, not like Sammy Davis, where it's like, I'm going to perform this at a USO show in Vietnam or whatever for the troops. Cause it's a relaxing way to kind of unwind. But it's interesting too. Cause now I don't think it's a good thing or a bad thing, but like when you type in celebrity drummer, usually the first thing that pops up nowadays is Justin Bieber. Which again, that's like, he's a musician, but it seems like it's less in the limelight of celebrities who are actually drummers as well on the side. I don't know if you've noticed that, like it's not as common quite as much anymore.
You are very, very on point with that. I think it's a lot of it. It's, I don't know what it is, but drumming today, maybe it just has to do with the way marketing is going through the surge in technology. And we've experienced in the last 10 to 15 years now. You can even go further, but I think that's very true of, you don't see it as much because it's all kind of clumped together on Instagram now. You know, if you follow the hashtag bass, if you point the bass, you'll see these amazing videos of people, but that's one of those ones where you kind of have to pick and choose media.
Yeah, sure.
In some ways that, there's, I don't know, maybe people feel like their musical tastes are so, but I've loved to do the same kind of thing where I will go listen to, like the other night I was just going through YouTube looking for videos like you were talking about. And I don't know why it surprised me, but I found a video of Robert Plant, and it's the Led Zeppelin singer sitting there playing an acoustic guitar. It did not look natural in the slightest, but I'm also like, why would I be surprised by that? I mean, you're sitting next to Jimmy Page for over a decade.
Of course.
That you're going to pick something up. There's something relaxing about it, but that's the beauty of technology too. You kind of got to dig in, grind your heels and try and find something that's going to appeal to you because it's music is so out there. That's where I give the tag to my new podcast. I'm actually debuting the first episode coming up, the Wonders podcast. It's about One Hit Wonder specifically, because if technology back in the day, you had it existed in the 60s, 50s and all that. I mean, it's like, where would we be today? Would it have been the same decade? Not at all. You would have not had a One Hit Wonder because everybody would have had a platform.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, and everyone should check that out. Congrats on launching the new podcast. That's exciting.
I appreciate it. And I got to say, before we go further with your show too, I've had, like I put in that post the other day when I went on Instagram to announce being on the show, that I've had more than one person who's said that they just have come up on this show and next thing they knew, they didn't have Netflix. They canceled subscriptions to things because your show is doing something that not enough people are willing to not just take on the task of running something like this, but it's about the listening, really. It's another way to bring us back together through the power of sound. I mean, it's a certain sound, sure, but
totally.
I've seen more than one person who's not a percussionist
That's
who
great.
Listens to this with joy.
Oh, thanks, man. That's awesome. It's a blast to do, and learning things, especially from topics like this, where again, it's just something you don't think of. And I think it would be neat now, maybe, and steer me back on track if you kind of have a plan, but I'd love to hear a little bit more about some of these. Like I think of like people don't think of as much of like Chevy Chase. He was a drummer. So why don't you just kind of pick it up and just take us through what you were thinking here, man?
Yeah. It's through the years I've done a lot of research too. And it's, you pick up, especially when you work in radio, there's always those fast facts that you get day to day that come in, like, you know, just whatever you can think of, you know, like the top five U.S. cities, you know, that kind of stuff. You pick up this knowledge. But yeah, like you mentioned, a Chevy Chase, you know, those kinds of, it's again, coming back to how much are you willing to research? Do you need to hear about certain outlets that are out there to find these people? Because yeah, all I did, I remember watching of all places, it was a Steely Dan song I had on, and I'm scrolling through the comments and I see somebody talking about how the two guys, Donald Fagen, Walter Regan, and they were both in college together. Their roommate was Chevy Chase. So they had a comedic band that they put together that soon turned into what we knew eventually to be Steely Dan.
You know, I've never seen or heard any audio or seen any video of Chevy Chase playing the drums, which is interesting.
Yes. So very much so. I'd love to have it unearthed.
I know there has to be somewhere, but I can't remember the quote exactly, but I remember hearing that Chevy Chase said like they were like a crappy jazz band or something like that. I think it's something like that. So it's just funny that like he was wrong. They blew up. So, yeah. Well, who were some other, you know, musician drummers that we might know about?
The one I think that you have to go for right up front is, because he's everywhere, is Dave Grohl. Yeah. I would give him the mention as I started to listen to him, get to know his stuff better. Then I was finding videos of him where he was doing sketches and, you know, it was on Drunk History on Comedy Central and did Tenacious D, played with them live, and also did the movie. I mean, hilarious guy. And
totally. I think drummers like Dave Grohl, he's a great example of not taking yourself too seriously. Because I think, you know, singers and guitarists and stuff can sometimes get a little caught up in all that. So I think drummers have a natural kind of like funniness and a little bit of not taking it too serious and just going with it. And recently I had the last episode that came out, which was the history of working drummers. We talked a little bit about, and you guys can listen to that episode too, to get more into it. But there was some talk of the history of drummer jokes and where they came from, with drummers being broke.
Right.
And you hear about jokes about drummers being like dumb and stuff like that. And it's just so like, it's unwarranted. We don't deserve it.
And you know, it's funny that you say we don't deserve it, because I feel like today, and you know, going back to whatever with media, if you want to act like that's a part or not, I think it is. It plays a heavy hand in how we get things distributed to us, as compared to, I don't know if we were really ready back in the day for the British comedy, what it did for, I mean, so much from the beginning of, you know, the early 60s and Dr. Strangelove with Peter Sellers, all the way to, you know, Keith Moon being in Monty Python with Ringo Starr. I mean, it was just, it was such a surge of music at that time, but we didn't realize what the gold we were getting, because a lot of those guys, there was a point where I think Monty Python was about to be canceled, and guys from Pink Floyd, guys from, you know, Keith Moon, Led Zeppelin, they jumped out to save that show because they saw it was something special. That's where you go back and you watch all those movies and you're like, oh yeah, there was a lot of, you know, there's John Cleese with Ringo Starr, yeah. or oh, there he is with just all that time. There was such a, there was magic in the air. And I feel like today a lot of where I am on the drums, it's, I love to just dissect things, but I'll get on. And the first thing I want to do is, and other drummers know the feeling immediately of, you just want to be Keith Moon. You just
all go over nuts. Yeah.
Each side of it. It's, but that, it was a big part of my upbringing was the, you know, everybody knows about this parrot is no more, you know, any
yeah.
classic Monty Python.
You're absolutely right. Where you see celebrity drummers making appearances, and the British invasion was probably a big part of that. Like, I think Ringo, although he's a funny guy, I wouldn't classify him as a comedian or a comedic actor, but he definitely put drummers in the limelight of being, you know, funny guys.
And that's very true, because you can't, I guess it's just what is, what are you really, you know, what do people know you for, and what do you know yourself for? I would say with Ringo Starr, it's, yeah, you're not going to look him up and see comedian is the first thing. He's always been a percussionist, whether, you know, his place in the Beatles is important to you or not.
Yeah.
But that's why I think I loved Keith Moon, was because it was just such a life-changing thing to see him on the Smothers Brothers, you know, blowing up his bass with three cannonballs and making Pete
completely deaf.
Pete go half deaf in his left ear, and with him taking a he took Keith Moon right before show, passed out in the middle of a song because he had taken a horse tranquilizer.
Heard of that? That's crazy.
And it got a 19-year-old kid out of the audience with, you know, God knows what was going through his system at the time to come up and finish the show. Stuff like that is just, I guess, always been watching comedy and drummers, you know, half the time for one, half for the other. He was definitely something that was a common ground for both and an inspiration.
Yeah, really. This episode is brought to you by Forks Drum Closet, Nashville's full-line drum store. Celebrating its 40th year in business, Forks is independently owned and operated in the heart of Music City. Specializing in drums and percussion, Forks offers great discounts on all major brands and will beat any retailer's advertised price. From new and used equipment, vintage drums, and marching and orchestral instruments, Forks has something for every drummer. They also offer professional rental, repair and restoration services, as well as drum lessons. Stop by their storefront at 308 Chestnut Street, Nashville, Tennessee. Call 615-383-8343 or go online at ForksDrumCloset.com. Man, so kind of thinking back to some of the videos I've found of these drummers here, I figured maybe I could say a few and then we could just comment on them. Because right off the bat, I was thinking another great comedic drummer, I would say a comedic percussionist, would be Andy Kaufman. Maybe he doesn't come to mind as a percussionist right away, but he used it so much. And when you actually watch the videos of him playing, he's really good. And there's something about that where, like, I don't know why, you just kind of ignore his skill as a percussionist and just think he's goofing off, but he's actually pretty damn good.
And with guys like that, it's just his sense of humor and his way he approached. It's just there is no ever going to be another experience like Andy Kaufman in this world.
No, definitely not.
To see that video, I know exactly the one you're talking about, because I was watching that and I'm like, this guy just, there's nothing he can't do. It's amazing to see. Andy Kaufman was just kind of that ace.
Yeah.
You know, he could do pretty much anything to entertain you. And when I found out he played music, well, I'm not surprised. You know, he was known for the Elvis skit.
Exactly. It's interesting to think about a person like him, because no one is immune to practicing. It's interesting to think about him sitting there practicing on the congas or playing the guitar or something. Like, I imagine when he was alone and he'd want to play just for fun, it kind of goes back to how it's a therapeutic kind of thing that's relaxing. And obviously we all enjoy playing the drums. So I don't think that's really thought of that much of like a guy like Andy Kaufman, who's kind of off the wall and the wild guy practicing his instrument.
He's one of those guys that's just today, even comedians, they don't understand everything about him, which that's I think what he definitely wanted was the element of mystery to it all. But I couldn't that when I first discovered that video, it was because I was just getting into the Tony Clifton side of things. You watch that and you're okay, this guy has to have some kind of musical history in his family. Why I was not at all surprised seeing this.
Yeah, absolutely. Another one, I would call him a comedian, but he's in a different realm, but Johnny Carson. Great background in drumming. There's very early videos of him drumming. I forget on what show, Milton Berle show, one of those shows where he's actually playing and he's amazing. And then I know fast forward later on, I know that he was given a drum set at his house by Buddy Rich because they had a long history of Buddy being a guest on the Johnny Carson show. And they would there's a lot of videos out there, but they would do a lot of pranks where Johnny or whoever would replace some of the drum heads with like wax paper. So he would hit them and just break through immediately. But there's some cool video of Johnny at home sitting there listening to a record with headphones on and just playing the drums again as a way to unwind. Because he's kind of known, I think, as a pretty introverted guy. Like, I think, you know, he's on for the Tonight Show. But then I think he just turned inward and didn't really want to be public and wanted to be quiet. So I think drumming was a big way for him to not be as, you know, always on. That was his private kind of thing to do.
There had to be, and I look at a guy like John, which I think that kids today need to just, if you find time to binge things, then stop for a day and go back, look at the catalog of the Tonight Show. Cause it was just, there was no guy who had done anything close to what he has, you know, what he did. And you have people like, I can't even think of somebody close other than maybe like, you know, Ed Sullivan, but he was just sort of a different thing, you know, because he was, I don't know, I guess you would say he was television ready as a host, but you know, the guy who was naturally candid was Johnny.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And I love to go back and watch just, guys like Steve Martin who are on there, or who you had mentioned, you know, few different names and I had already of people that had gone through the Tonight Show and were performing. It was really their first, some of their first stuff they ever debuted.
Absolutely. And, you know, just like, man, kind of jumping around. I know we're kind of getting off. It's just fun to kind of jump around here, but.
Oh, definitely.
There's something about late night shows, let's just say late night as a whole, not just the Tonight Show, but in general, these late night shows typically have a drummer involved. Like Johnny Carson was like Ed Shaughnessy. Conan O'Brien had Max Weinberg. Yes. Late Night with Seth Meyers now is a rotating drummer every week, which I think is just unbelievable and such a cool thing in a modern, you know, that's what's happening now. But, you know, I guess it goes back to Johnny having Ed Shaughnessy on the drums. There's always a special relationship there.
I guess that's why I just never could get into the whole, you know, and I gotta give the credit where it's due. There were guys who, you know, Arsenio Hall, or, you know, all the way back to Dick something who did.
Oh, Cavett.
Oh, Dick Cavett.
Yep.
Who did the, you know, those shows back in the day where he had, you know, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Late night, there's just something about it that's, you can't explain what it is, because it was just, that was, and I think it worked very well in the U.S. back in the day, because number one, smaller world, and number two, you had only but so many places that you could go to reach for the information you needed. Like with, they had this documentary, off topic a little bit because we were speaking about the Beatles a few times, but John Lennon, a lot of America found out about his assassination on Monday Night Football. That was people didn't know about it through there. They didn't get their information until the next night when they all turn on the news and see Walter Cronkite reading the headlines. That was just the way it was back then. People loved, you know, my parents told me countless times, you know, these stories of it's the same thing on the Tonight Show, but it's always funny to me. And I wish that I could have had more time in that era to be, because I was by the 90s, you know, there was Jay Leno was coming around and Conan.
It's a different era, you know, because I you're exactly right. I remember growing up and you'd see the band and they'd be talking to the band. And I mean, obviously the Roots playing with
Jimmy Fallon.
I mean, that's cool. It's carrying on from that long tradition of going back a long ways. And I'm sure it's pre Johnny Carson. I guarantee, because there's, from what I've found from looking up these drum videos, is there's a ton of various different kind of like talk shows. So
yes.
So yeah, and some other ones. Jackie Cooper, who is a old school actor. He was a drummer. Charlie Callis, who I think is actually, I found something of him, and he's a straight up comedian.
Yes.
Drummer. And I actually wasn't aware of him until I found a video of him. And he's talented. He is a talented drummer.
And he's got that, I loved his, always loved his look.
Yeah.
You know, he's just got the very like, you know, he's in the Gambino family or something.
Exactly. Yes.
And you look at him, but very a virtuoso talent. I mean, just very underrated.
It's just interesting that you can be so talented at one thing and then become famous for another thing. But I guess it's true today. You kind of need to be a double, triple threat. Like a lot of these people can like sing and then dance, and then they can also play an instrument and write or something.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. What else do you have?
I've kind of just pulled together some ideas for the last few weeks of old memories. And I remember, you know, I had a drum teacher of mine who unfortunately passed away last year. But Jordan was, he introduced me to a lot of, you know, all I wanted to play. I remember when I took my first lessons with him at Stacy's Music Shop, got to give them a nod. That's where it all began as a drummer. But that, he was my teacher. I told him, I want to learn how to play Fool in the Rain by Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And he, when I started playing it, I just found I was getting better and better, but it's, he was saying, you got to make sure to broaden your horizons. And I started to listen to different people. One of the ones that he had on at his house when I went over and did a lesson there one time actually was Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
That's another one that I think is, when you get to that level of fame for your music, but people don't realize he is just, I'm interested in the off camera persona of these people.
Yeah.
And what they really are like. That's, I have to go with, you know, the personality
sure.
of a person to, that's a big part of it to form a good or bad opinion on things. But
yeah,
that's what I've been doing a lot of lately is watching interviews with these people and trying to kind of pick their mind. That's what I would recommend to people is if you're going to go out there and we all are judgmental at times as humans, mm-hmm. That's something we should have to face. You go and put yourself in that experience, listen to these things, you know, it's amazing to me. I discovered a guy recently who Paul Pena is his name. He was a guitarist in the 70s who was just I don't know how to say, but a warm and a guy you could embrace, and he would embrace you so easily. Kind guy, but was so funny. He went under the radar and wrote the original Jet Airliner.
I thought Steve Miller would have written that. I didn't realize that.
Apparently, yeah, that's, so I heard that song, God, the first time, I think like 5 or 6 years ago, but it's a very slowed down version of Jet Airliner. And I know he had kind of, you know, people who were celebrities like Bonnie Wright, she knew who he was and was always talking about, you know, just praising him for his sound, but the guy was completely blind, and that's what makes him more amazing.
Yeah.
Steve Miller heard it and asked for the permission to go and play the song and make it on the Book of Dreams, I think it was.
Yeah.
He was he gave his blessing for it to be on there. But years later, I go and I not only hear this song, but then I started watching interviews of him, and he did something called Tuvan throat singing, which is when, you know, everybody, whenever I think of it, immediately what comes to mind is D-Day in Animal House playing his throat on his motorcycle. The legend Bruce McGill.
Yeah.
But he was, he did this professionally, and it was a movie he had it featured in. It was called, I think Genghis Blues is the name, if you want to look it up and watch it. But the guy was on Conan Late Night, was performing, and this guy is all these things he can do. It's incredible. And all you have to do is just, now that's the power of technology. You know, there's sure there's drawbacks with it, but you can get on and you can find these things immediately. But what we need to remember is the thought process behind it. You know, you just, if you take things off face value, that's your choice.
Yeah.
But I think you should definitely look into some of these people, you know, do some reading. But even if you're not into music or comedy, you know, still reading will take you a long way.
Yeah, and reading, you know, there's a lot of people that have tons of information that I've found where people are typically happy to share it, and it's better to kind of say up front, like, does anyone know any more information about this? Or reading the comments on YouTube and doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because you might find that a certain celebrity, like the thing with Chevy Chase, like just literally reading comments and stuff where it's like, oh wow, I didn't know he was in this band or any of that. So,
right.
So yeah, that's a good call, is just to dig a little deeper and find out who writes the songs, who does this, who's the drummer, and to learn more.
You got to dive in somewhere. And with music specifically, I feel like drumming is just one of those things that naturally, when you can't, you know, you can play air guitar, but nothing will happen, but you can always tap on something, you know, one and two, and you're doing the We Will Rock You beat,
yeah,
whatever. It's drumming is easily one of those things that should bring people together more than it does, I think, percussion.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to, it's a way to communicate that goes back thousands of years. And I think it's the earliest instrument, and it connects people, and it's like, you know, the bass drum is like a heartbeat, and it just is deep, and it's all tied together. So I think that's awesome. And I definitely recommend for people to, like, it's just cool to see these celebrities and old comedians and things. I would say the odds of someone who's like a, let's say, 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s actor that you see being a drummer or a percussionist is
right.
is pretty high. Like, you just got to find the videos of them, and I'm looking for them. So, or just keep following what I'm doing, because I'm constantly looking for them. So, cool, man. Well,
yeah, man,
this is awesome. So, I think that's a good chunk of information there. I want to tell people that they can check you out on your Instagram page, is the Wild Card Comedy, right? And then
yes.
You have the Lights Go Down podcast and the Wonders podcast, which just launched recently, which is exciting.
Oh yeah.
Is there anywhere else people can find you, or anything else you want to tell the listeners?
Well, I will be, there's been a lot of work behind the scenes for a few months now, but there is not only an album, a first comedy album in the works, but a tour that will be taking place simultaneously with the recording of it. And there will be music of mine, singles coming for the first time later this year in a project I've been working on. But there are, as far as the podcast, go to YouTube always, we have it, but Spotify, we are officially on Spotify and the Anchor app. And anywhere you would like to see me for shows, I provide that on my website, which is just, well, it's a link tree, and then it is Facebook, Wildcard Arts and Entertainment. Recently, the name was changed to just Wildcard Entertainment, but you'll find us on there nonetheless. For all show dates coming up, there will be plenty of them, and it will be taking place into, starting this year, going into 2021, but you'll...
Cool.
Always, if you come through Charlottesville, the Richmond area, you'll be seeing me around here.
Awesome. Nice, man. Well, that's a ton of good information right there. And like I said, I think people should, you know, like we were talking about, just have respect for all of these musicians who are funny people who are also great drummers and musicians yes. alike. So, cool. Steven, well, I appreciate you coming on the show today and
absolutely.
Thanks so much. And I highly recommend people find you online and check out what you got going on.
Definitely appreciate the nod and I love to do it again.
Awesome. Thanks, Steven.
Thanks, man.
If you like this podcast, find me on social media at Drum History and please share, rate, and leave a review. And let me know topics that you would like to learn about in the future. Until next time, keep on learning. This is a Gwyn Sound podcast.